Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Bob Glynn, S.J., parochial vicar. It is the third Sunday of Easter, and the readings are from Cycle C.
I was recalling at the earlier Mass today at one of the things that, for those of you who don't know me, I worked many years in Africa, in Zambia. And I was always keen, you know, we were in one of the poorest countries in Africa, so I guess it makes it one of the poorest in the world, that we somehow interact. I was teaching at school. We interact, you know, with children particularly who were in desperate situations. So early on, when I was at the university, I discovered this Catholic orphanage. And so I would bring university students and we would go and play with the kids. And that was a wonderful thing until the Catholic Bishop of Andola shut down the orphanage and kicked out the nuns because they had taken donations from the Masons. And so that Christian charity, off they went and were dispersed. So for a little while, I wasn't quite sure what to do. And then I was teaching at a high school, and one of the little boys in Form 1, grade 7, said to me, "Father, you know, my family goes to an orphanage every weekend, and we play with the children." I said, "Oh, is it here in Kitwe where we lived?" And he said, "Yes." So he told me where it was, and I trotted down, and they were very eager to have the high school students come down and play with the kids once a week and all that, so but I've arranged this relatively carefully and happily. We got the school bus, and I had the Form 4 students. That's grade 10. I had about 10 of them. I thought, okay, these are normal. This will be nice. So just that day where we were going to go, one of the Form 2 students, grade 8, said, "Father, I live right by that orphanage. Can I go with you and play with the kids, and then I go home from there?" I said, "Yes, yes." I mean, you can't really say to someone who's volunteering to go to an orphanage, "No, you can't go." So I said, "Yes." Then he came back just a few minutes before the bus was leaving. He said, "I brought Lombe with me too." And there was one of those moments when I kind of felt my heart sink. Because Lombe, unlike the other boy, Chiangi, was very difficult. And he had a bad temper. And he had been moved by his family from South Africa to Zambia, and he hated Zambia, so he had this huge chip on his shoulder, and I thought, "Oh, God, Lombe too." So then Lombe was standing there, so what do you say? I said, "Okay, Lombe, get on the bus too." So we all got down to the orphanage, and I mean, it was an awful place. All these ragtag children, and well, but Lombe, miraculously, was like a magnet for this little slightly younger than 2-year-old boy named Moses. And Moses was very cute. And Lombe and Moses adored each other. I'd never seen anything quite like it. And so when Lombe would come in, Moses would, well, you know toddlers, they don't exactly run, stumble towards Lombe, and then Lombe would grab him and hold him for the whole time. As I said at the earlier Mass, the only other person in the whole place that Moses would allow to hold him was Father. Mostly because I had this nice soft hair that Moses liked to go like this to. And it was about several months into our going that Chiangi, the other boy, said, "Do you know, Father, that Lombe goes every weekend to play with Moses?" And I said, "He does?" And I tried to picture this, and I was helping at the earlier Mass saying, imagine either when you were or your child is 16 years old. Would you expect that child on the weekend to get on a bus and ride 7 miles to go to play with an orphan? But this was what Lombe was doing. I thought, this is really impressive. Well, we had come towards the end of about a year and a half, and I had gotten kind of an infusion of money, which, of course, I was always very eager to waste immediately, if humanly possible. So I had arranged for this outing to what masqueraded as an amusement park in Zambia. In our country, it would have been closed down immediately by the health department and all other safety measures. But there it was, and you kind of looked at the things, and you knew if you touched anything the wrong way, you might be electrocuted. But everybody was happy. Oh, we're running around. And of course, we'd had Moses sitting on the bus on Lombe's lap, Moses and Lombe going around. And so then I said, aren't you going to take Lombe on the merry-go-round? They called it a carousel. And he said, he's afraid. And I said, oh, just stick him on the horse. You know, when you have no children, you come up with these broad ideas. Yeah, go ahead, just stick him on the horse. He'll like it. He said, no, Father. Moses is afraid of almost everything. And so what I've learned over time is that I have to help Moses bit by bit not to be afraid. So he said, I can't just stick him on the horse. So I thought, oh, okay. Well, I watched, and they did all these little things, and about an hour and a half later, there were Moses and Lombe on the horse on the carousel waving at me. And I thought, Lombe knows a remarkable amount about this child. Well, all went along well. One Saturday, Chiangi, the other friend, sent me a message, and he says, Father, Moses has been adopted. And my initial thought was, oh, that's great. And then I thought, oh, no. Lombe. So I went into school on Monday, and I was the tutor for the Form 6 class, first year university, and they had their own special room and all that, and none of the younger kids were allowed to go there. Of course, Lombe was there waiting for me. He followed no rules, and I tended to follow no rules, so we were on the same page. And he said, Father, have you heard? And I said, yes, Moses was adopted. And he said, Father, I went to play with him, and he was gone. And I went home, and he said, and I do something I never do. I went into my room, and I cried and cried and cried. He said, I thought about all the fun Moses and I had had together, and all the things I was able to teach him, and the plans that we had, and, you know, how I was going to help him with his schoolwork when he got older and teach him football. And I just felt so awful. Said, and then I thought, but I was only able to go down and be with Moses when we went with school and on the weekend. And then Moses was stuck in that awful place all the rest of the days with no one to pay attention to him, terrible food, those rags they wear as clothes, the bad school he would have had to go to. And I was thinking, you know, now Moses has a family, and people will be looking out for him, and they'll be really caring for him all the time and paying attention to him. He said, and I felt so happy. And he said, now I don't understand, Father, because I'm standing here, and I'm crying inside, and I feel so happy at the same time. I don't get it. And I thought, oh, boy. He said, is this what love feels like? And I thought, this is maybe one of the hardest questions you've ever been asked in your life, and you better answer it right. And I said, it's what perfect love feels like. When joy is shot through with freedom. That you love. You feel joy for Moses, and you feel sad, but your focus is on Moses. And then I looked, because Lombe was not one of the sharpest knives in the drawer. I taught him, I knew. And I thought, I'd been too abstract, maybe, because he was kind of giving me that blank look that I frequently got in class. And he said, oh. I said, you understand? He said, yes, I understand. I need to go find somebody new to love. I thought, if we all believe the gospel that well. And so today we hear Peter in this very odd conversation with Jesus. Do you love me? Yes, I love you. Do you love me? Yes, I love you. Do you love me? You know I love you. But is that what we know? What we know is that Peter had denied the Lord three times, that he felt the joy of the risen Lord. We know that the Gospels tell us they rejoiced when they saw the Lord. But now Peter's back at his old job, isn't he? He's fishing again. He hasn't done jack for the Lord. All he's done is say, I love you, I love you, I love you. And we saw how much that meant earlier. Yeah, he did. But when it came down to it, he didn't. And now Jesus offers him another chance. But the chance is not in the answer to the question. The answer to the question is easy, do you love me? Yes, we can say that all the time. The answer to the question comes along with a condition. The condition is then, go and find somebody new to love. Tend my sheep. Tend my lambs. Feed my sheep. And that will be when you feel the freedom and the joy that is the love of the risen Lord and the command of the gospel.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, a regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Director Gary Glauber, with music by Albert Tomaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at web.stanfordcatholic.org or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.